In the name of Jesus, it's good to be here with you this morning. This morning as I woke, I sat down and in the presence of the Lord, I rewrote my message for you this morning. It's much more personal and directed specifically to Genricks. I want to make 3 points this morning. Make room to be a missionary. My first point. Make room for a new vision. As my second. Make room for Amanda. Is my third. And I want to end by encouraging you, Amanda, to make room for future leaders. Make room for future persons here at Genricks. So the title does not match the one in your bulletin, and it's simply Making Room is my simple title this morning. Making Room. As I looked in the rearview mirror of Genricks Mennonite Church, I realized that this congregation is very good at making room. I went back to 2004 and realized that this congregation sat with a young man who had a vision to become pastor of family ministry at Genricks Mennonite Church. You didn't have a role like that. Looked at the vision. You helped him write a job description. And he came on board to be pastor of family ministry in 2005. And over the years, that ministry, along with your incubation, along with your support, grew to become known as River of Hope. River of Hope was able to grow because of you. Making room for something new. And so, Genricks Mennonite Church, you have a history of making room for something new. Of course, the Lebanon District as well, of which you are a part, has a history of making room. Jubilee Ministries was birthed out of Lebanon District churches, significantly supported by Genricks Mennonite Church. You make room for new visions. You make room for things that are new. Today, we had the opportunity of installing Amanda as your lead pastor. Last time I checked and wasn't here for the whole duration of Genricks history. I know I look old to you young children, but I'm not that old. To the best of my knowledge, something new is happening here today. We are installing the first female pastor here at Genricks Mennonite Church. I don't want to make a big deal about that, but I don't want to ignore it either. Indeed, it's something new for our district. Again, not wanting to make a big deal of it, but not wanting to ignore it either. And so we here at Genricks will have the opportunity to make room for something new. And the success of this ministry is not Amanda's alone. It's each one of us. Today in my scripture reading, Acts chapter 9, the main character is Saul. And as this movie unfolds, we're attracted to Saul. Our eyes are focused upon Saul. But today, during this movie, I'd like you to look for the people in the shadows. Not focus so much on Saul. He's there, yes, as a main character. But I want us to look at the people behind the scenes. Today, we are installing Amanda. And we could look at Amanda and we could focus on her. And yes, that's the main focus of today's message. But I want us to sit and focus upon the people behind the main character. The people in the... You. Me. How will we make room for Amanda? How will we make room for Jesus to be known here at Genricks, in the new story, in the new chapter that will be written. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. is the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, I want to begin reading. We're going to make our way through 31 verses here this morning, paraphrasing some of it, but reading portions of Scripture and then pausing to interact with it and look at the people in the shadows. Meanwhile, begins Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on the journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul were speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. I want to pause there for a moment and ask the question. What manner of men do you think these gentlemen were who were traveling with Saul? If you could use adjectives, what would you use to describe these men? Soldiers. Probably not Roman soldiers, they may have had a soldier mentality for sure. What else? Zealots, indeed, zealots. And passionate individuals focused on getting in the way of the way. And we notice that this begins with Saul breathing out murderous threats. If you were breathing out murderous threats, would you have chosen people of compassion to travel with you? Probably not. Probably not. These individuals would not have had compassion nor empathy. So maybe we can think of them as people who were destined to destruction and creating chaos. Verse 8. They led him by the hand into Damascus. Isn't it interesting that the hands who left for Damascus to create murder and mayhem ended up becoming the hands that led people toward Jesus? Something happened. This is where their story ends. I could make it up, and I would love to make it up. I would love to write a chapter of them becoming disciples of Saul and later Paul and becoming one of his followers. They may have. This I do not know. But what I do know is that in that moment, in that time, in that space, they were changed. The purpose of their hands became changed from that of wanting to create mayhem to taking a person by their hand, a person of compassion, and leading them on the next step of meeting Jesus. These gentlemen could be your neighbor. They could live around this building. People who do not know Jesus. People who do not have compassion. People who may even wake up with mayhem in their hearts. How will they be reached? Who will be a flash of light for them? Let us not hide behind a lead pastor, but recognize that every single one of us lives in a community. of hurting people. Even in our own families, we may be ministering to hurting people. LMC, the conference of which we are a part, recognizes we are not in a good place. LMC has added many congregations to us, to our roster. These congregations are often small and becoming smaller. Because somewhere along the way, we have lost our purpose to be missional in our community. Indeed, we're beginning to ask ourselves a question, were we ever missional in our community? Many of us remember church growth because of fertility. And our children grew up in the church and they stayed in the church. They didn't go off to far-flung colleges and universities. Even if they did, they came back to the nest or close to the nest. Just no longer. We live in a changed world. And so generation after generation, as we become more concerned about what goes on inside of four walls of church, we leave less fingerprints of influence on the outside of these four walls, and the four walls of churches. Becoming a missionary. LMC has a new phrase. Every member a missionary. Every member a missionary. This week, I will have the opportunity, and you will too, to be a flash of lightning. A flash of light to someone. Someone who needs truth. Someone who will be challenged. Someone who may end up hating you for it. But it is our responsibility to be a light. Make room to be a missionary. Verse 9. For 3 days he was blind. We go back to looking at Saul. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas, on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. A new vision. Wherever there is a new vision with great potential, I see that there is likely initial resistance. It was this way for Moses. He was given a vision. Leading the people out of Egypt. A great vision. That was initially resisted. And then, of course, there's Jonah, perhaps the epitome of resistance. Go and save that great city, Nineveh. A great calling with great potential. Initial resistance. And here we are looking at Ananias. It's a new vision. A vision that he initially resisted. And so I see periodically throughout Scripture this fact that wherever there is a new vision with great potential, there is a likelihood of initial resistance. those who are leaders and are visionary, and we have a vision and we lay it out, let us expect resistance, even within our own hearts at times. We think that's crazy. How can that possibly be? How could we do that? And all kinds of reasons come. The elders, along with Amanda, are going to be praying, fervently praying, and we invite you to pray for them, fast and pray for them, for a new vision for Genrix. A vision that I pray will bring about resistance. Why? Because of the great potential of the vision. You may even think, as among the elders and Amanda, you may even think, oh my, how could we do that? Look at our congregation. Look at the size. Look at the age. Yada, yada, yada. It is true that as we go through the pages of Scripture, we see people called great vision and they don't have resistance. For example, Mary. Mary had a great vision to change the world. And she immediately said, here am I. Send me. But I want to prepare us. There's a new vision that God has in store for Genrix. It will build on what we have already been doing. It will build on where Genrix has been for sure. God does not waste anything. There's a new day coming for Genrix. The people who you may be sent to may be scary. Think about Ananias. Hitting me? You're sending me on a death mission here. And God says one word with an exclamation mark. Go! Go! Have you ever had a vision that was bigger than yourself? Some of us have. Vision bigger than ourselves. That's what's going to happen here at Genrix. You're going to have a vision bigger than yourself. And it will be destined to fail unless God intervenes. But you have God. And so make room for a new vision even when it scares you. Make room for a new vision. Story unfolds. Saul wears out his welcome in Damascus. He is totally sold out for Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. And his life is in danger. And the disciples get together and they lower him from a basket through the opening in a wall in verse 25. Verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas. Saul did not fit descriptions of a disciple. At least not to those who were following Jesus. He did not fit the description of a disciple. But Barnabas. And we're going to see in a little bit Barnabas intervene and make a way, make room for Saul to do an amazing ministry, who later became known as Paul. Back in January, as I began to meet with the search team, the pastoral search team here at Genrix Mennonite Church, an amazing group of people who invested a tremendous amount of time, we began to ask the question, what if God calls female to be the lead pastor at Genrix? The search team did due diligence. They came here to the congregation and interacted with you around that question and did a survey, and varied responses came back. So I would be foolish to be able to stand here this morning thinking that all of you see Amanda fitting the description of a lead pastor. Some of you do. but some of you don't. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because there have been some Barnabases in this congregation who have gone ahead preparing the congregation for Amanda. Search team, for sure, did a tremendous work. Doreen, many people have said to me that you and Kate's not here this morning, I've heard them say that you've helped prepare the way. You've been a Barnabas in preparing the way for the acceptance of Amanda. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas could not have known at this point in time, Saul, who would later become Paul, would write much of the New Testament. He could not have known that in the missionary journeys of Paul, my forefathers came to know Jesus. And one could say very in very broad strokes that I am a result of Paul's ministry. For I learned back in Lancaster Bible College that Paul, when he received a call to go into a separate part of the world where he hadn't even planned to go, took the gospel into a part of the country where my forefathers were. But Barnabas. That's the thing about being faithful and having hope. When we stand in our moment, we cannot see the future. But it does not dictate our behavior. We remain faithful even when we don't know. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. A great new vision was sweeping through, and great resistance was arising. Today we install Amanda. A lot of work has been done, Amanda, in preparing the way by numerous Barnabases in this congregation. Two of you have done a lot of praying, seeking the Lord. Where is God calling you? And these two calls have come together at a beautiful time like this. You will have a responsibility, and it's an exciting one, but it is a responsibility nonetheless to continue to make room for new here at Ginrix. To continue to write the story of Ginrix. There's a lot of exciting chapters remaining. The people behind the scenes, the people in the shadows, created a way, making room for Saul. Verse 31 is the outcome of this story. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in living in the fear of the Lord. I want to reread this in a prophetic way. Then the church at Ginrix Mennonite enjoyed a time of peace. She was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and their numbers grew as they lived in the fear of the Lord. This is your future. But it is not up to just Amanda. As we see, it wasn't up to just Saul. There were a lot of people behind the scenes being faithful in what God called them to do so that Saul could have room. Today we make room for Amanda. Or we continue making room for Amanda. I want to pray before inviting her up here.